You're listening to The Blueprint, Canada's conservative podcast.
The cost of living keeps going up, deficits keep going up, and he has to raise taxes to pay for his out-of-control spending.
Talk is cheap, except when this finance minister does it. It's very expensive.
It's the fact that he punished two strong women for doing the right thing while he moved hell and high water to protect his buddies at SNC-Lavalin from facing a day in court.
This is The Blueprint, Canada's conservative podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Schmale, Member of Parliament for Halliburton, Kawartha Lake, Sprock in Ontario, and today's topic is Canadian energy. Welcome, Ted Falk, Member of Parliament for Provencher in Manitoba. Thank you so much for joining us here today to talk about Canadian energy. So good of you to give up your time. And you're also Deputy Critic for...
Employment, Workforce Development, and Labour.
That is a long title, but well-deserved. Well-deserved. But you also sit on the Natural Resources Committee, and you're deeply involved in that. So maybe just give us a quick update on where you see, I guess, the future of energy in Canada going. You know, there's a lot of trouble getting pipelines built right now. We're seeing troubles with the Trans Mountain Pipeline. Northern Gateway was canceled. Energy East was canceled. So we're having a serious problem attracting investment here in Canada. So maybe you can kind of give us a lay of the land, if you will, as to where we are.
Well, right now, as an energy sector in Canada, I think we're struggling with the lack of approvals for a lot of major resource development projects that have been on the books in Canada for a long time, and we've seen many investors pull their money out of Canada. Close to $100 billion of investment has fled Canada in the last 3.5 years. And that is a dismal, dismal story for Canadians, and it also speaks very poorly of the current government that we have and how desperately we need to replace that government. And our leader, Andrew Scheer, has put forward a platform on energy, which includes an energy corridor, which is very exciting, and we can talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, why don't you basically explain what that is for those that have not heard it? Of course, as you mentioned, our leader, Andrew Scheer, is putting out a platform idea every week, and one was about the energy corridor and how Canadian energy can play a huge role in tackling climate change, in reducing emissions, and how we can be a world leader with our research, our technology, our innovation.
The energy development and resource companies that we have in Canada are world-class companies and produce the lowest carbon print in their particular demographics as far as the industries that are involved with. We have very responsible resource companies here, and they've been kind of sidelined under this current government, and I think they're looking forward to a change because our leader has indicated that he is going to make a pathway for these folks to continue to do what they do for Canadians, but also to continue to have access to the global market, or to, again, give them access to the global market, which is something they haven't enjoyed in the last few years. And so part of that is a east-west energy corridor, which will be a space right across Canada designated for energy resource shipping from coast to coast, that we can access tidewater with things like oil and natural gas and hydro. Of course, hydro wouldn't go to the tidewater, but for hydro. And the reason I mention hydro is because just yesterday, Premier Brian Pallister was in Ottawa to talk to Prime Minister Trudeau about the Manitoba-Minnesota transmission line that has already received NEB approval, but is not being green-lighted by the Liberal government. And this is some of the most cleanest, greenest energy that we produce here in Canada, and this current government is just stalling Manitoba's efforts to sell this energy to our southern neighbor.
Now, just for a bit of context, usually the federal government gets involved when projects, massive infrastructure projects like a pipeline, like a electricity corridor, you name it, when they cross provincial boundaries. So that's why we're waiting for this federal nod, if you will. And I'm glad you mentioned this in the energy corridor, because I think it got overlooked in a number of media reports, was the hydro part, the electricity part, and how that can benefit different provinces as they transition to different forms of energy, such as Alberta, which is now phasing out coal, while they can use some of the green energy from neighboring provinces.
Yeah, exactly. And we know that hydro energy, which is what Manitoba produces, is amongst the cleanest in the world. Atomic energy is clean. Solar energy is clean. Wind energy is clean. Very environmentally friendly sources of energy that we have here in Canada. And what we do is we need to have a corridor that will move that energy across our country so that Canadians rely on Canadian energy and not on foreign energy. And that's very important. And so part of Mr. Scheer's six-point plan for pipeline development exactly would be to cancel the carbon tax, repeal Bill C-69.
That's the No More Pipelines
Bill. No More Pipelines Bill, and end the BC shipping ban, which would enable tankers to pick up our crude, establish timelines for approval, eliminate foreign interference in the approval process, which is something that Bill C-69 actually exasperates further than it is today, and then invoke federal jurisdiction when necessary to make sure that energy projects and proposals can move along in a timely fashion.
Maybe we should point out and remind people that the shipping ban, it doesn't actually ban tankers from foreign countries coming in to the coast. It just bans Alberta Energy from leaving that coast.
Right. It's landlocking our energy is what
yes.
it is doing. Yes.
Yeah. So even if the Bill C-69, the No More Pipelines Bill, were to pass, we still have to deal with the tanker ban, which we're still in the same predicament.
We are. It's a hand-in-glove kind of situation where we need both components to make our energy sector viable as far as shipping our energy coming from Alberta to markets in Asia. We need not only the pipelines to be constructed and, or approved, constructed and built, but we also need the shipping ban to be lifted so that we can actually move this energy across the water to Asian markets.
Another important point to realize is that the shipping ban does not apply to the Atlantic provinces. It's just British Columbia.
It is just a British Columbia thing, yeah. It's very unfortunate, and we know that on the eastern side of Canada, they're getting oil from countries that we don't think operate in environmentally or ethically responsible manners. Countries like Saudi Arabia, Venezuela, those types of countries are where we're buying our oil from right now, and we're bringing it right down the St. Lawrence in ships, and yet we're not. This shipping ban that the Liberals have put in place prevents it from moving along the West Coast.
So we're talking about using Canadian workers to develop Canadian energy, Canadian technology, Canadian innovation, good-paying, highly skilled jobs right here at home, and allowing us the ability to get that energy to international markets, to use the actual marketplace to push the bad actors to up their game.
Absolutely. And once we have better access to international markets, we know that our friends and neighbors to the south are also going to be willing to pay world prices for our energy products, which currently we sell to them at a significant discount.
Mm-hmm.
And they do that because they can.
Yeah, we have no other customer than the United States right now. So they are enjoying buying our oil for discounted prices. And that is not helping the industry one bit.
Not at all. No. I find it very interesting that this past week, even the Green Party agrees with our leader, Andrew Scheer, that Canadians should be enjoying Canadian energy.
I would agree with that.
And supporting the whole concept of using our Canadian energy resources to drive our Canadian economy and to wean ourselves off of foreign energy, foreign oil. And so they support our leader's initiatives in that area as well.
But also think about the other countries that are developing their industrial base, that are developing their middle class, as that starts to grow. And as people start to get more in tune to how energy is developed, extracted, you name it, how people will all of a sudden a light bulb will come on and say, you know what, maybe we don't want our oil from Venezuela or Nicaragua. Maybe we do want it from a leader like Canada, which has the highest energy or environmental and labor standards in the world. Maybe we should be getting our product there. And I think that sends a great message that we can then take those good ideas, bring them to other countries, and up their game, allowing us all to be better global partners.
Absolutely. And I think Canadians understand that. I think that they want to source their energy from companies that operate in an environmentally, socially responsible manner with high ethical standards, but also very high safety standards and environmental standards. And they know that Canadian companies operate that way because that's the regime that we have for resource companies here in Canada. It's something that allows them to extract our natural resources and still do it in a competitive way, but do it in an environmentally friendly way. And that's important to Canadians. And when we get to the point where we will wean ourselves off of foreign oil having to be transported across the water into our country, which already has adequate resources to sustain our own energy needs, we're also going to reduce the carbon print by reducing shipping of that oil. And carbon is something that's very important to people today. They're very sensitive to that. And I think this is an area that we can point out, hey, listen, we can actually, by developing our own resources with this energy corridor, we can move our own oil right across our country from coast to coast, eliminating the need to have it shipped across the Atlantic, either from the south or from the east.
Well, I think you mentioned a bit about this, and I'd like to maybe focus in on this. When you talk about investment leaving the country, I don't think people get you hear that and it you're not sure that how impactful it is. But if you think about it, when the Liberals formed government in 2015, there were three major energy sector companies doing business in Canada. By that I mean building pipelines: Northern Gateway, Energy East, and Trans Mountain. Now we have zero. Now, if the investment dollars into the energy sector start to leave, as you mentioned, hundreds of billions of dollars, what happens after that? Not only are the spin-off jobs, but the brain drain that happens after that. All that talent starts to leave this country. And how is that good? There's a whole ripple effect that I don't think people have been seeing yet.
I think you're 100% correct, Jamie. When the work leaves, the brains leave as well. The brains follow. And we saw $4.5 billion of taxpayers' money head down to Kinder Morgan shareholders in the United States and Texas in particular. And that money has left our economy. It's taken with it certainly some of the brain drain.
Could be attributed to that. I think more is to come if investment does not come back.
Yeah, and Canadians are looking at this whole TMX fiasco and saying, well, why would we use $4.5 billion to buy an existing pipeline that shareholders were completely happy to operate in the first place,
that's right,
which on the books is only worth $1.5 billion? We then paid them, in addition to that $1.5 billion, we paid them an extra $1 billion for the investment they had made in trying to get to an approval process with the NEB. Mm-hmm. And so now we're sitting at $2.5 billion, and Canadian taxpayers are asking themselves, where is that $2 billion, the difference between the $2.5 billion for hard costs and the $4.5 billion that we actually paid for the whole entire project? And you know what? It's in the pockets of shareholders in Texas.
Maybe we can just remind listeners how we got to that point. As you mentioned, the shareholders of Kinder Morgan were more than happy to put their own money into this project, not requiring one taxpayer dollar. But they just felt there was no way forward under this current government, the way they are bringing in pieces of legislation that hurt their industry and hurt their chances of actually seeing a light at the end of their tunnel in the approval process on getting the Trans Mountain pipeline built.
Correct. The TMX pipeline was a viable pipeline. The shareholders recognized that, and that's why they made the initial investment through Kinder Morgan to purchase the pipeline. They have operated it very successfully. As most corporations, they saw continued opportunity in Canada to develop our natural resource sector and the oil sands in northern Alberta. And in order to do that, they needed a conduit to transport that oil from the resource into the marketplace. And the absolute best conduit that the industry recognizes is a pipeline. Mm-hmm. So they made application to go forward with a pipeline expansion, which is what is the TMX stands for, Trans Mountain Expansion. And we're waiting for approvals, and this government has made it so difficult that they were unable to get approval. Had they gotten the approval, they would have invested close to another $10 billion into our natural resource sector here in Canada.
So, and years of skilled trades employment.
And the brains would have stayed here.
Yep.
The engineers would have stayed here. The corporate managers would have stayed here, and it would have created hundreds of thousands of jobs for and opportunities, especially for our Indigenous communities.
Yep.
They would have been by far the biggest benefactors of a continued growing Kinder Morgan presence in Canada.
So while we're here, we only have a little bit longer, but let's talk about, you're a business guy. You're watching this happening. You're looking at the dollars in your business. How do you see Canada in competition with other countries? How competitive are we in the overall environment?
You know, I think something that all Canadian businessmen think, and I think it's no different in the resource sector, is the burden of regulation. And approval process is just part of it, but mm-hmm. but ongoing regulation and a regulatory environment that makes it hard and difficult to do business in Canada will actually chase money away from the Canadian marketplace. It'll chase money away from our natural resources. And you know what I think the Trans Mountain people wanted through Kinder Morgan is they wanted a government to provide a framework for them to do their business and then get out of the way. And when governments don't do that, they don't provide the correct regulatory environment so that responsible, good stewardship can happen, whether it's in resource development or in any corporate business. But when that framework is missing, there's a lot of ambiguity that corporations and businesses feel they're not willing to invest any further dollars into a situation like that, not knowing when that may change. But when there's a proper regulatory environment in place, it gives business, and sometimes bad policy is not much worse than good policy, because at least business people know what the policy is.
That's
but,
right.
But when there's an absence of certainty, when there's an absence of certainty in what the regulatory environment will be, money will flee. And business just wants to know what's the regulatory regime going to be. We'll make it happen. Just let us know what the rules of the games are going to be. We'll play by the rules, mm-hmm. But then get out of the way.
Yeah, know the rules up front. Don't change it midway through the process, like happened to Energy East.
And that's exactly right. And once we know what the rules are, we'll play by the rules. But then government needs to step aside.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Ted Falk from Provence. Thank you so much for joining us today on The Blueprint. It was great chatting with you. We'll have to have you back, and we can chat some more about overall business environment here in Canada.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Jamie.
Well, thank you very much. This is The Blueprint, Canada's Conservative Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Schmale, Member of Parliament for Halliburton, Cawthra Lakes, Brock. And remember, low taxes, less government, more freedom. That's The Blueprint.
Thank you for listening to The Blueprint, Canada's Conservative Podcast. To find more episodes, interviews, and in-depth discussions of politics in Canada, search for The Blueprint on iTunes or visit podcast.conservative.ca.